Jay Pizzy, Mosier on the beat. Look at my team, ay. Look at the ring, whoa. See what I mean, ay. You see what I mean? Look at my team, look at the ring, everything. This is a dream, all but a dream. This ain't a dream, I am a fiend for the cream, go. DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
See, I calculate. Yeah, y'all just palpitate. Whoa, if you don't calculate, get it? Get it? Calculate. Lady Justice is illustrious. I just love this. I can put this in this function and it turns up into something. And that something came from nothing. And I sold it for a button. Now I got this lovely lump sum. Guess I'll burn these bumps like buzzing, bro.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
This ain't a dream, I am a fiend.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the DTC Podcast, episode number 208. Thank you once again for joining us to this week's edition. We are doing, this is like kind of a fun, like part two from last week. We started recording some of our top trade targets. Like, these are the most searched players in the Dynasty Trade Calculator. And then we're looking at our trade wire registered to see like what executed trades were made, and we're talking about them. And then all of a sudden, right in the middle of recording the podcast, Julio Jones news drops. And Izzy jumps in with his exciting voice to let us know there's breaking news. And we spent the rest of the time talking about the Julio Jones trade. So now we get to revisit what our original script was. So we're going to be talking about a couple of players, you know, some trades. These are the most search players that people are looking for in our calculator database. So before we get into that, welcoming my co-host Izzy Elkafoss, the Pharaoh Fantasy, Izzy Elkafoss, Fantasy Pharaoh, Pharaohs.
Mm. What up? What's going on? A little early
for
me,
Pharaohs, right?
I'll make it work.
Yeah. What's going on, man? You're moving into a new home in a few days. How's that?
Yeah, 5 days. Exciting. I said we don't have any. We haven't bought anything for the house, so that'll be interesting.
I heard a rumor that you're using all your winnings from your dynasty leagues to fund the new home.
Mm-hmm. Fund the mortgage and or the 20% down and all the furniture from
Holy
fantasy.
Cow.
Yeah. I'm pretty good. No.
Also but, joining me, Nicholas. We never came up with a moniker for you, Nick.
No, you didn't. But one thing to talk about with this Julio Jones trade is I feel like we set a world record. We were the first people to talk about it because it was like live. So
yeah.
Who else could be podcasting about him before us? I think we were number one.
Nobody was talking about it. I think it took a little bit of time to cut the podcast because we were late in getting some of our files over. But you're right. It was a live update, and that doesn't happen very often. So right. So it's Nick Breaking News Whalen joining us. What's up, Nick?
Hi.
What's new, man? You got a bunch of dogs in your house right now. Who let the dogs in?
My puppy Fields, after Justin Fields, is 5 weeks new to me, so 13 weeks right now, and is like doubled in size. It's just incredible like how big they get and how quick it is. So yeah, and then my girlfriend has two dogs. So right now, hopefully they're like and sleeping or something, but we are recording to see if it goes well.
Is it peeing everywhere?
No, great right now in terms of that stuff.
What wow. if what if Justin Fields like completely busts? What are you doing with the dog?
Honestly, like at this point, I'm all in. No, just
give it back. Do you have a return policy?
It was 30 days, so that's already up.
Okay.
It was a rescue. But at this point, like, I just feel like, I mean, what are the odds of him not being the best Bears quarterback of all time? The bar is QB rating wise is Trubisky. Trubisky QB rating wise. But I think really it would be Cutler.
If he came in below that, then when you go around and people ask, oh, what's your dog's name? You tell them Fields, they're immediately going to hate your dog.
Yeah. I'll probably change the name, honestly.
Okay.
True story here, though. True story. So, you know, I am a Bears fan and family of Bears fans. My dad has 8 siblings. One of my cousins, so I have like 27 first cousins, one of them named their son Cade after Cade McNown. Oh. And that didn't work out well.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So it's happened before in the Whalen family, but I'm really hopeful for this one.
Did Cade change his name? Like, you're planning on changing your dog's name, or did the father change it?
No, he goes by a nickname instead of Cade, but no, the name is still on the birth certificate. It's the same one, Cade.
They just call him C now. Hey, what's up, C? C note.
They don't call it breaking news, I'll tell you that much.
There you go. It's almost like all those Vikings fans who named their pets like Ponder or something like that. Like, you wonder what they're doing right now. Come here, Ponder, you piece of crap. Like, they probably just like mistreat their animals, like, because of how bad Ponder was or something. Well, which is sad.
They're pondering it for sure.
Yeah, they should. They should ponder whether or not they should name their pets after a quarterback. I hope that works out for you, though. I'm optimistic.
So, thank you. This is a topic not on the docket, but just a question. Okay. Mm. You guys are Vikings fans. Do you guys hate Kirk Cousins?
I don't.
I don't think that he's what the Vikings need to put them over the top. So, like, he's just basically buying us time and keeping us above average. So I don't hate him, but I don't like him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I just think, I mean, I think people are really critical. Like,
there are a lot.
It's like, if you're not Patrick Mahomes, you suck at quarterback. It's like, Kirk Cousins is an above average quarterback for sure. And there's times, yeah, I mean, I think he's a good quarterback, but like, being in a division with Rodgers makes everyone look like trash. You know what I mean? Or whatever else. It's like, that's such a different bar. Like, you can't do that. I mean, the bar between him and Ponder, that's a very difference.
Yeah, that's probably the, you know, equal distance between him and Rodgers, right?
Yeah, probably. I mean, Rodgers is Hall of Fame. Like, that's just not fair.
You're right, though. If you follow on Twitter, local legend Paul Charchian, he's always tweeting at the Kirk Cousins haters. And there's a big group. I think they might have like some sort of posse that they like gather on weekends and have meetings. It's wild. You're right.
Charch is a good dude, but I mean, like, he's had, I mean, if you look here, over 105 quarterback rating each of the last 2 years, and no one would have known that.
Yeah.
He's had 30 or more touchdown passes two of the last 3 years, both in Minnesota. And the 1 year he didn't, he only played 15 games. I mean
he's just good, not great. He's good. He's a good quarterback. He's not the problem.
But people would say he is the problem, and he's not good enough. Like, it's like,
he is not good enough to do it by himself. Like, Aaron Rodgers is good enough to bring a team to a championship game by himself without having much support around him. And he's shown that he's done that. Like, Kirk Cousins just isn't. And that's his only, and that shouldn't be a flaw. Like, he's
good. How many quarterbacks are there that can do that?
Rodgers, yeah, just a handful.
Mahomes, yep. That's it, right?
Yep, just a handful.
Yeah.
Yep, just good unfair. Points.
Just unfair, I think.
So let's get into the topic here. So, like I said, last week we started off with the most searched players in the Dynasty Trade Calculator database. Then we pulled them up in the Trade Wire on our website. Again, if you haven't used that tool, it's sweet. Try it. DynastyTradeCalculator.com. You can click to see what real trades are happening in leagues for each player that you've searched. And last week we started with the fifth most searched player in the Dynasty Trade Calculator database. This is a top five player that people are entering in for their trade. So that's the people that owners want to know about their values. So we started with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and it's time for number four, DeAndre Swift. And I took a look. DeAndre Swift has a number of compelling trades, including some more recent ones. The first one we're going to talk about was, I'm just going to say the league. This is kind of cool. This is in the Masters Bronze Dynasty League, 130423. Don't know if there are 130,000 different versions of this league or not, but that's the number. And the trade is, would you rather have, and I'll start with Waylon, Diontae Johnson, the 109, and a 2022 second, or DeAndre Swift and the 202? And
flex or none?
It is the one quarterback, because the 109 is worth 18.9 in Superflex. So one quarterback, 12-team PPR, one QB. Good question.
For me, I'm going Swift on this. I know some people might not go that way, but to me, I mean, I like Diontae Johnson. I know that Izzy is a resident at his fan club meetings. I wonder how they're going this summer, but he's going to turn 25 this summer. Swift is still 22. And that's something that I brought up in a tweet yesterday, I believe, talking about Terry McLaurin. I mean, people just don't realize how old some of these guys are when they come in the league at, you know, an elder-ish age versus these young guys, you get more bang for your buck. And plus 109 to 202, there's not really a difference this year to me. That's, you know, Elijah Moore to Terrace Marshall. I mean, that's that range almost for both guys. You know, the 22 second isn't much for me. So, yeah, I'm going to go Swift there.
Well, so does, since Izzy brought it up, I'm looking in the calculator, and currently this is 37 to 45 in favor of the Swift side. And switching it to Superflex actually makes this a lot more interesting. Would you still pick the same size if that 109 side, if that 109 was a in the Superflex league?
Ooh, that's a good question.
So Deontay 109, 2022 second for Swift in the 202 and a Superflex 12 team PPR.
I would probably
then that 109 becomes.
I would switch then. I think I would switch to the other.
Wow. Okay. Cool. Well, let's stick with that because I think Superflex is a little bit more common anyway. So, very cool, Izzy. What do you think, Deontay 109, 2022 second, or DeAndre Swift in the 202 and a 12 team Superflex? That's tough, isn't it?
Well, have them answer both. I'd be curious for both.
Yeah.
Yeah. One quarterback, I think it's easily Swift.
Yeah. Easily.
Superflex. It's basically Deontay, let's call it Deontay and one of the running backs, Mac Jones, or like Devonta Smith at 109.
Yeah, Sermon, Carter, Mac, right? Oh, no,
you mean McCorkle? No,
McCorkle, yeah. I don't think Sermon, I mean, I wouldn't take Sermon that high, but.
Well, you said running back, so I was would Devontae fall that
far? Yeah, for sure. Yeah. He's fallen. And then Swift in the 202. So Swift and, like, if you're lucky, Bateman, likely one of the Moores or Sermon. I think Sermon would fall there.
Waddle kind of feels like a Waddle pick.
I think I'm the president of the Deontay Johnson fan club. So, but I think I would.
It's a tough one.
if I have to select a trade, I think value wise, it's still on the Swift side. I feel like I try to get more than what I'd be getting in this trade. But if I had to pick a trade to live with and I couldn't do anything after it, I take the Deontay side. I just don't love the Detroit situation at all.
Well, I mean, there's risk there because it's a new coach. You know, but I know you love Deontay, but here's something to think about. He was eighth in the NFL in targets last year at 144, but he was 27th in yards. That's a big differential. I mean, I know a low A dot. I mean, I don't think that's going to be increasing this year.
He's
going to be 25 in July.
A lot of people don't realize, like, Big Ben got the ball out quicker than just about anybody over the last decade. So if that's happening and you're peppering one guy in those 144 targets, if you remember, he got benched in one of the games and he got hurt in the first quarter in two of the games. So he did that. He got 144 targets in 12 games because he missed one game due to injury. So massive workload.
What are you expecting? He's going to get 170 targets or something? I don't think
I'm saying fair. If that's the pace, if that was the pace last year, I don't know. I just don't see the offense changing enough. And I kind of mentioned this in a segment that I did for a show. But at the end of the day, the only thing that's changed is Najee Harris. The offensive line hasn't gotten significantly better.
It's got worse.
There's more changes, but yeah.
Yeah. So and some would say it's gotten worse. So they're not going to rely heavily on Najee running the ball, in my opinion. I think there's still going to be a...
Whoa, you're making way. I heard Najee Harris is going to 1,000 touches this year. Didn't you hear that? It's on Twitter.
Minimum. That's what I'm seeing, too.
Maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. I just think that the way that Big Ben is going to have to run that offense, and they're trying to keep him upright because they definitely don't want Mason Rudolph in the games. I think they get the ball quick, and I still think that's going to be Deontay Johnson. Like, it's not cool. Chase Claypool. Chase Claypool doesn't excel in getting open right away. He's going to be a guy that's going to be used to stretch the field like he always has been. And, like, I just don't think Juju's as good as Deontay.
No, they all have their different roles. But I think Juju also got hurt value wise based on Big Ben getting it out quick in these short, quick passes. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, his ADOT's short too. So I think it's, but then, you know, what's after that is what you have to think about in a trade like this too. It's like, what's going to happen after Big Ben's gone? It could be after this year. Then it's like, they have nobody lined up. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough trade. I think it's pretty close. You can go either way.
So I got two notes. One is for DeAndre Swift. I'm not sure if you guys saw the Anthony Lynn. I don't know if it was news or just coach speak or whatever you want to call it, but he's basically calling DeAndre Swift his third down or change of pace back, and Jamal Williams is a heavy workload guy, his workhorse. Does that scare you off at all?
Only because I don't trust Anthony Lynn. Like, if he's kind of a dope, but it plays into the factor on why I picked the Deontay side slightly. I could be swayed either way. I think if I thought about this, I could change my mind. But yeah, I don't. Detroit is just not a good situation all around.
Yeah,
new coaching staff,
new quarterback,
team that's going to get their ass kicked. New quarterback, the whole thing is just new.
But TJ? that's a really good offensive line, in my opinion.
Yeah, they do have a good offensive line.
So that's, I mean, if they do something, which I mean, honestly, if you look at that personnel, I would run the ball a lot.
Yeah,
shorten games, that kind of stuff.
And my other note was around Deontay Johnson. I'm kind of ready to get out on him because last year he was worth what? Like a late second, third round pick at this time, maybe even worse than that. And now he's shown that he can do something. His value's ballooned. And I don't mind cashing out on him because I think, you know, Big Ben being a year older, and I know that you said Chase Claypool his forte isn't getting open, but he's got a year, you know, he's a second year wide receiver now. He's got a year in the offense. I think Ben trusts him a little bit more now. So I could see this being a real true like spread, like a split between all those receivers. And Izzy, I think you should pick up your tradition from last year where you're tweeting out which wide receiver do you want from the Pittsburgh offense and doing a poll. I'd be really curious to see like if this fluctuates during the season also based on whoever gets. I think it's going to be the same type of thing. I think every week it's going to change. Mm-hmm. Big Ben's favorite target's going to be somebody different every single week. So I'm ready to get out, cash out.
Juju and Deontay are the same age. I bet people wouldn't believe that. Like they're like, oh, Deontay can get better. Why can't Juju? He's 24, turning 25 this summer as well.
One more trade with DeAndre Swift, and this one's pretty straightforward. It's DeAndre Swift or DeAndre Hopkins. Which DeAndre do you like better? And I'll just tell you, like, they're pretty much split down the middle, 37.3 to 37.7 in the trade calculator as far as value is concerned, but they definitely represent two different sides of the spectrum for what your team situation is. Mm-hmm. So without copping out saying team situation dependent, Izzy, you can start with this one. Which side do you want?
Well, that is the answer. So I'm going to default to DeAndre Swift. So for me, I always talk about this. I build my teams with roster flexibility in mind. I'll have more suitors for DeAndre Swift than I will for DeAndre Hopkins. My DeAndre Hopkins trade market is going to be very minimal. So I don't like being limited in that aspect, so I'm going Swift.
Makes sense. Waylon, what do you think?
I think this is tougher than, people would – because I think people would lean like, oh, well, Hopkins is the better player. And then they're like, well, hold on, Hopkins is 29 and Swift is 22. But then you have Hopkins who's had – 100 plus receptions each of the last 3 years. I mean, he just has been a monster. And with someone that's, I would say he's an elite talent. They generally go well into their 30s. Mm-hmm. I think he's a guy you could actually trade for right now and you ride him into the sunset fairly cheaply.
I don't think it's not cheap enough for me. I'd wait another year. Once he hits that 30, I usually try to avoid them from 28, 29, like that 2 year window where I just kind of like don't like having them, and then I try to, if I need to make a like a push like a Julio. As a contender, I'll go after a Julio for cheap. Yeah, now he's
okay.
He's worth like a early second.
Right.
I agree. My no fly zone is 27 to 30 for wide receivers. I think we all probably have pretty similar tactics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like Hopkins going to be so much cheaper next year, Nick. Like, and he's going to produce, like you said, for 3 years after. Right. So I might as well hold on to Swift and then I can get something, I can give up something far less for Hopkins next year.
Right. Now, with that said, I believe in Swift's talent. So I think it's kind of a coin flip. And if I do that, then I'm going to lean age, like you're saying. But I think Hopkins is an interesting guy just to see kind of, because I mean, Kirk didn't hit. AJ Green has been trash. They got more. I get they're trying to get some other stuff in there, but he's gonna get his. So something just to think on.
Yeah, I would say, like, with something like this, and I don't know if you guys agree with this. I like Hopkins. Love Hopkins. He's actually my favorite receiver to watch ever. But
ever? If,
yeah. Oh, love Hopkins.
Randy ratio, you're not gonna go there?
I love Hopkins. See, here's the thing. Randy was like just a physical specimen. Like, Hopkins is just so, he's just so good.
He's skilled, yeah.
It's so fun to, I just enjoy watching him. When it comes to a trade like this, I'm okay going after giving up Swift, but I would probably try to go after like DJ Moore, or I'd pay a little bit more to get CeeDee Lamb, something like that. Mm-hmm. As opposed to trading it for Hopkins.
What could they add on the Hopkins side where you'd be like, okay, I want to go that side?
I'd do it for something in the late first, early second range is when I'd consider it.
I was going to say that too. I mean, because I like the value, I think, of Hopkins for the next, 4 years you can have him. But like you're saying, the retrade value, you'd have to get probably like a 109, 110.
Yeah,
for me to be like, okay, cool, worth and the risk.
Like you said, I have no issue from a value perspective. I think they're pretty close. I could see somebody saying Hopkins over Swift, but my personal preference on how I run my teams, I don't bring on a guy like Hopkins for a guy like Swift. It's just not how I'd ever do it. But
well, I mean, like, I don't know how many years ago this was. Probably, I don't know, 5 years ago or something. I had a really good team where I had Antonio Brown, and I was out a year early on Antonio Brown, who I love. Like, I think he is a phenomenal skilled receiver, despite what everything happened off the field. I traded him and Kevin White after he had a couple injuries for Mike Evans, who is not as flashy, but I've had more value because of his age and what Mike Evans can do, versus it was like one more elite year from Brown and then he fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing here that we're talking about.
Yep.
I agree. Moving on to the next guy, that was the final trade for DeAndre Swift. Very interesting there. The next player, the third most searched player in the Dynasty Trade Calculator database during trades, is Javonte Williams. Waylon, I think he's one of your guys coming out of college. And looking at all of his trades in the trade wire, there are none that were very even, except one. So I'm going to check and see what you guys want on this. And this is, unfortunately, like, this is not very even for me, but in a one quarterback league, would you rather have Javonte Williams or Michael Pittman in a 107? I don't even know if, is Javonte Williams probably going at 107? Isn't that like a free Pittman?
No, he'd be going before then, but not by much. He'd be probably going, in a one quarterback league, you're looking at Harris, Chase, Pitts, ATN, and so he'd go 104, 105. I can see Smith being in there. So between 104 and 106, I don't see him drop into 107 in many one quarterback leagues.
Where is Lawrence going in one quarterback leagues? I think he's probably around there.
I think 108, 109.
Okay.
Go ahead, Nick. I know my answer.
Yeah. I mean, I would take Williams before 107 just because of the state of the running back position, et cetera. And I do like him as a player. But I would go Pittman side for sure, because at 107, I'm looking at Devonta, Bateman. I mean, it's close to a coin flip, and I like Michael Pittman as a player. I like that. I mean, I've loved him at Florida International coming out, how he's done in NFL, but Hilton's done. I do not believe in Paris Campbell ever. And they don't have a tight end that's worth much right now. Mo Alie-Cox, Doyle. I mean, really, that wide receiver crew is going to go through Pittman, who they took before Jonathan Taylor. They risk not having Jonathan Taylor to get Michael Pittman. They have a plan for him, in my opinion. And Nyheim Hines. Those are the two pass catchers that I'd be trying to get in Indianapolis.
Interesting, Izzy. And I like the way that you framed it up. So maybe I'll throw it at you with your framing. So would you, let's say it's during a rookie draft, would you pay Michael Pittman to move up from 107 to 105 to get Javonte Williams?
No. Yeah. And that's why I would take the Pittman side. I just don't think I agree with Nick. Pittman's a guy that I'm trying to, McQuire, I think he's going to have a nice little breakout. Yeah, as a rookie, I thought he performed admirably, considering how a lot of people didn't think he was ready to step in and perform right away. So I like Pittman. I think he's going to ascend. I'm all over it. So I like that side, and I think it's pretty easy for me. And I'm not as big of a Javonte fan as Nick is, but I do value running backs. But once again, I agree with Nick, where if I can get Smith at 107, man, I would love that. If I get Smith and Pittman for Williams, I'd be so happy.
So smash, yeah. Accept.
Yeah.
Now, one thing to say, though, one part of this is, what are you expecting from Williams this year, Izzy? Because I know that you are the president of the Melvin Gordon Hate Club as well.
Mm-hmm. So Melvin, Melvin with an H, he's obviously still around. So he'll be a pain in the ass. I just don't see it being a situation where it's like, I look at backfields like this, and I think for Williams, best case scenario, unless Melvin gets hurt, is like a 60-40. And if that's the case in Denver, improved offensive line, I get it, pretty good offense, but it's still Teddy and Drew Lock. So one of them Drew Lock needs to basically hit the ascend button pretty heavily for the running game, I think, to excel. But I just don't think it's enough volume for Williams to be even a high-end RB2. I think he's looking at low-end RB2 for this year until the Melvin Gordon situation kind of clears out.
Hmm. I think Melvin gets more touches than Williams this year. I think it's one of those.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. I mean, and for those that, you know, I mean, Melvin had his second most efficient year last year. He averaged 4.6 yards per carry. I mean, the scheme, that's why they got rid of Lindsay. The scheme fits him more because it's more inside power-based. When you think of what's good, Javonte power-based. But I think you ride out Melvin. You still sprinkle in Williams, but I think you wear him out, let him go, and then it's the Williams show in 2022.
There you go. And Izzy, I like how you kind of keyed off on some of his success being contingent upon the quarterback battle. And part of me wonders if, like, do you think Teddy was brought in to maybe challenge Locke to break him out of his shell a little bit and, like, give him a little bit more fire under his butt? Or do you think it's just kind of a lost cause?
I think it was more of a, we know what Teddy is. We understand, like, what he's going to give us, basically.
Yeah, Teddy doesn't have the ceiling that Locke does.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, he is what he is. He's a game-managing quarterback. That's what he is. He won't win you any games. Teddy won't lose you any games. You're going to be as good. So Teddy's going to basically take you as far as your team is capable of without him, type of thing. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. With Drew Lock, I think it's a pretty good insurance policy for him because it's like, okay, well, if he sucks again this year, we have Teddy. If he's
very
great,
capable backup, yeah,
perfect. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a very smart play on their part, and I like the move.
Who wins? Who wins that battle?
I still think they give Lock the opportunity to be the quarterback.
I mean, to me, when you look at that team, first of all, Vic Fangio, I'm a big fan. Obviously, I knew him in Chicago as the DC who led the best defense that we've had recently. They have a great team there. I mean, you look at without quarterback, you're like, man, that's one of the better rosters in the NFL. I mean, they had a Kyle Fuller. That defensive backfield's good. They have the pass rushers, as we know. All of the line has improved, as you said, Izzy. I mean, look, I mean, receivers, Sutton's back, Judy, Hamler, Fant, the two running backs now. You're like, man, that's a complete team. So you look at that team, they only need a game manager to win. And to me, for a seventh-round pick, it's worth bringing Teddy in where it's like, hey, you can start, don't mess it up, and we'll win. Because if we don't win, I think Vic Fangio might be gone.
Yeah. But I think it makes Locke actually like a pretty decent buy. I mean, like you said, if the offensive line is better, Sutton's back, Judy in the second year, they added Williams, they got Fant, Hamler from last year. Great supporting cast. Like, if you're going to take a shot on any young quarterback that's practically free in Superflex leagues, I think you take a shot on a guy like Drew Lock, personally, he's a guy I know you liked coming out.
Mm-hmm. No, I do. But I mean, he had, you know, his last year wasn't as good as his second to last year in college. I mean, he had, 40 touchdowns, I think, in the SEC. Yeah. But there's just some processing and accuracy things that he doesn't do as well as Teddy, in my opinion. So really, yeah. It's what do you want? You want high-end ceiling or a high-end floor?
Yep.
Or a quarterback that can win in rap battles, yeah. And I agree. I think the risk reward, you know, his current price is worth the risk reward. He's definitely a boom or bust kind of guy. So moving on to the next trade here. Actually, I should say the next player, right? Was that finishing off Javonte? Yeah. So the second most searched player in the Dynasty Trade Calculator database during trades is Antonio Gibson. Very interesting. People are wondering what his value is and looking at trades involving Antonio Gibson. There are a couple very compelling ones. Basically, like this is this first one is like, do you want to cash out at Antonio Gibson? So starting with Waylon, it's Antonio Gibson or the 105 in the Dynasty Trade Calculator database. The 105 is worth 22, so I'm assuming this is a super flex league. Let me double check that. Hang on. Yes. 31. Yeah. So it's the super flex 105 or Antonio Gibson. And in the calculator, it's 32.2 for Antonio Gibson to 31 for the 105. Waylon, which side do you pick?
This is a super flex 105?
This will be a super flex 105.
Wow. Okay. Well, that changes a little bit here. But so first off, I just want to, you know, I think people know my documented history with Antonio Gibson. I wanted to see a bigger sample size. Me and Izzy were on the same page with that, and Gibson did well. But let's look at some numbers here, okay? So Gibson playing Dallas twice and Cincy once. They're both 30th and 31st in yards per carry defense last year, a.k.a. trash. That was 32.9% of his carries on the year, but it accounted for 42.4% of his yards and 45.5% of his rushing touchdowns. So he definitely benefited way more from those three games. I mean, think of that's almost half of his touchdowns came in three games. So with that said, if it was not super flex, I was going to take Gibson, actually, and I thought people would be surprised by that. But in super flex, I'm going to go the 105 pretty easily.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think. We could go T-Law, Harris, Chase.
No, it's going to be T-Law, Lance, and Fields.
Oh, all the quarterbacks, yeah.
And then it comes down to, do you like Gibson over Chase or Harris Fields. Or Pitts?
Where was Fields?
1, 2, 3. I just did the quarterbacks, 1, 2, 3.
So it's Harris, Chase, or Pitts, you said? Oh, yeah, that's tough.
Harris, then. Chase, Pitts, yeah, probably.
Or Wilson.
ETN.
Or Wilson, if you want to go quarterback, if you want to bring an ATN, yeah.
Which we've talked about on this, that you go quarterback heavy. I'm surprised you're not even considering it, is he?
Not a big Zach Wilson fan. Just don't.
But you talked about on this podcast, it doesn't matter who the player is. You keep investing in the position.
Yeah.
And you can pay off later.
I have no issue. If somebody went Zach Wilson 104, I wouldn't hate it. But if I look at what the ADP is and where people are being drafted, it's 1, 2, 3. And then it's usually Harris, Chase, Pitts.
That's a lot of options.
Right.
Yeah. And then Wilson kind of gets like thrown in there. I don't see a lot of Wilson at 104. I've seen him at 105.
I mean, the bottom line is you have a ton of options, though, at 105.
Yeah, you have a ton of options at 105.
So I would rather have the pick over Gibson.
I think it's pretty close. But I'd also rather have the 105 ever so slight. I mean, here's the thing. I'm very high on the Washington football team. And I think they're one of my dark horses to win the Super Bowl, actually. I put a bet on them in Vegas.
Wow.
So I like them a lot. And I think I don't see anybody. If there was somebody behind him that concerned me, I'd be far more likely to take the 105 in a snap. The problem is McKissick is a specific type of player. He's not a player that I'm worried about taking his touches. Peyton Barber is ass. And then Jarrett Patterson was an undrafted free agent. Am I missing anybody in that offense?
Curtis Samuel.
Well, in the backfield. And I know he can run. Backfield. I mean, he can. Backfield. Yeah, but he's not going to be a guy that's going to get 150 carries, 100 carries.
No, but I mean, I think we're also looking at those short passes, screens, design plays where McKissick got a ton, which hurt Gibson's value. Hopefully Gibson gets more of those, but that's, you know, that's kind of like the worst receiver that you want to see them add. It's like, oh, he might get some carries that they would get. He might get some of those short passes.
Yeah, but I don't think it's enough to offset the fact that they have nothing behind Gibson as a runner.
No, you said McKissick, Barber, and then did you say Lamar Miller and Jonathan Williams?
For a reason, I did not.
Okay. Well, I just you asked if you missed anybody, and I wanted to cover it.
Well, Lamar, I mean, I can't imagine he makes a roster based on the injury and then the fact that he hasn't played. Yeah. Jonathan Williams is always kind of like he surfaces, he pops up for a cup of tea, and then disappears again.
Mm.
So
liked him in college, didn't turn out.
Yeah. So just like there's really not a lot. I can definitely see Gibson being the answer here. I think I do roll the dice a little bit. The toe is what gets me. And I know a lot of people be like, oh, the toe's not a big deal. But as we know, turf toe and these toe injuries, they linger. And especially for a running back that needs to be cutting, change of direction, the whole thing, like that's going to one flare up and then you're dealing with
well, it's a Gibson toe.
And then it's Antonio
in season. It's
and then it's Antonio. Antonio Gibson, right?
Oh, Gibson, nice.
Antonio.
Gibson.
Well, and the thing is with this, I mean, there's different grades of sprains within that. I mean, it's a ligament down there, but here's the issue: is that it's June and we've heard about it. What happened in January, February, March, April, May, where he did not get the surgery, but it did not heal up either. So that right there tells you this could be a chronic thing. I mean, you should be rested and healthy at this point, but it didn't work out from training or the injury itself. So, I mean, he did miss time last year due to this, and it's still a thing. And people are like, they'll watch whatever drill video that they want. But considering that it's currently still an issue, does cause for some concern. But I do agree with you, Izzy, that I do like Washington, the football team, that defense is nasty, which will keep them in games, which will help them with game script. And if you look at that team, you probably think that they will want to run the ball. I know they will have a better passing game this year. I think that does help with game script potentially.
Yeah. Listen, I really want to take Gibson here. I do. It's the toe thing. If it wasn't for the toe, I would take Gibson. With the toe, I'd probably just lean 105 and I view it as a situation where I don't like projecting injury, but when it's something like this, it's already an injury he's dealing with.
Izzy, do you care at all that almost half his yards and half his rushing touchdowns were in three games?
No, for me, it's like, once again, I like this. That might be a concern if I have to live with Gibson, like, or I can't move him later. But I always look at trades like this from a ceiling floor perspective. So the floor of the 105 is significantly lower than the floor of Gibson because we know what Gibson's floor is. Or I guess we've seen how skilled he is at the NFL level. Whether you think he's super skilled or not as skilled as he comes off, he's still more skilled. His floor is still higher than something we haven't seen, no matter what. So I look at that and I see what's the ceiling? Well, the ceiling might not be as high as a Harris or a Chase, but it's high enough to justify taking the higher floor over the higher ceiling. And typically when I'm okay going that direction just because the floor seems to be a lot more likely than the ceiling for a lot of players. So
what's the floor with him?
The floor with him is like, he's going to get 150 carries and like 30 catches. I feel like that's the floor.
Okay.
So it's like, and he puts up, let's call it 700 yards and 6-7 touchdowns, whatever, something like that. So it's like that for me is reasonable from a being able to trade him in the future, just giving me that flexibility. And once it makes it difficult. It does. Like I said, without the injury, I mean, but now I have to project. Well, he's likely, I don't want to say likely, but the odds of him getting re-injured during the season are significantly higher than any player right now that's healthy. Right? We can agree with that. So that risk plays into my mind, and I take the 105. Go ahead.
Just another thing about him. Do you think we view him differently if he did not have the outlandish touchdown percentage that he had last year at 11 on 170 carries?
No.
For reference, hold on, just for reference, James Robinson, who I think we agreed is a good running back, actually, from film, he had 70 more carries and 4 less rushing touchdowns. I mean, that's a significant percent. I mean, there's nobody that's close to him. I mean, if he had 6 touchdowns rushing and not on national TV, huge holes against Dallas in that Thanksgiving game, I think we view him a little bit differently.
So let me pose it this way. I don't think the touchdowns are really playing that heavily into Gibson. Well, for me, I don't, you guys know me, I don't really pay attention to touchdowns at all unless they happen, like Derrick Henry, where he's getting touched every single year, he's double digits, or Devontae Adams, where you can basically say, we can lock in these guys at double-digit touchdowns if they stay healthy. With a Gibson situation, let's say we flip them. You mentioned James Robinson. I truly feel that if James Robinson was in Washington, even being an undrafted free agent with the lesser touchdowns, I think that he would be higher value than where Gibson is now.
No.
Yes. No. In Washington. I would, I'd almost guarantee it. But we can't. I mean, it's a hypothetical. Hurley, what do you think?
It's an interesting, I mean, it's completely hypothetical, obviously, but it's an interesting, I mean, are you saying that because of the supporting cast that James Robinson has in Jacksonville?
Well, I view it more of James Robinson got the volume last year. If he did that in Washington, a lot of the issues with the Jacksonville situation was, well, Jacksonville's not very good. They might bring in competition. So his value was never more than like the 106, 107. That's like where he peaked out. But if he was in Washington, I feel like his peak would have been significantly higher because there was less concerns with Jacksonville having a ton of cap space, getting a new quarterback. Like there's all these things that were going to happen for Jacksonville, like a changing of the guard almost, that there was a concern, multiple first round draft picks. There was a concern there just like building up for James Robinson that a lot of people like myself couldn't get over the hump. But if James Robinson was doing this in Washington, I'd feel a lot more comfortable investing in James Robinson prior to the NFL draft.
Yeah. What are you basing it off of? Just watching them, the two, or?
Multiple things. Watching the two, I think James Robinson's a better running back.
He's more prototypical. Like he's your big guy. I mean, Antonio Gibson's not small though.
No, but James Robinson, I think, is a better do-it-all than Antonio Gibson is. And it's not like Antonio Gibson came with like first-round draft pedigree. So
But I think people like Antonio Gibson because people, their scouting is 90% watching YouTube highlights, and he has highlights. And that's what I'm getting at. You don't think so? They love speed and highlights. You think they like James Robinson's the grinder, good vision, cutting ability, Frank Gore, and like, that's what being a running back is.
A lot of people would love Kadarius Toney, and they don't.
I think what Waylon's getting at is I think Gibson represents the higher ceiling, though. He's got more exciting plays in him. You know, like he can hit the home runs.
Right.
James Robinson's gonna get you your yards, like. Maybe depends on what your team needs, you know?
Yeah, but I'm talking about just purely from dynasty perspective. If you flip the two, I think Gibson would be lower and James Robinson would be...
Yeah, maybe taking the toe into account, but maybe that's some recency. I think between the two, like Gibson has the draft capital. Gibson has like that excitement element to him, like the high ceiling that people like in dynasty, flashing the high ceiling. So, I mean, I would disagree just based on those two things, taking the toe into account, then maybe I'll change my mind.
Right. What's the issue with Clyde Edwards-Helaire? If you could say that, hey, there's one issue with him, what is it?
As a player?
Right now, like in Dynasty, people don't have him as highly because of what one reason?
I think Andy Reid is, for me, it's the
offense. I think he fell short of expectations for his rookie season.
Right. So in my opinion, it's the touchdowns, right? Didn't score.
His volume.
Okay, but let's get back to that then. So he had 11 more carries than Gibson, and he had 7 less rushing touchdowns. But we're like, he can't get in the end zone. But Gibson continually did. So I think but he had more volume than Gibson.
To Hurley's point, it's we expected him to come out and perform at X level, and he didn't. Whereas we weren't expecting that for Gibson, and he did. Secondarily, the way that Clyde's season went, it was very much like workload, and then started going down. Whereas Gibson kind of ascended up. So a lot of that has to do with, and honestly, their values right now are very similar.
Mm-hmm. But they have 27.1 for Clyde Edwards and 32.2 for Gibson. So pretty close, like within an early second.
Right. Yeah, even mid.
Okay.
Well, that's interesting though, because I don't know, would you have Gibson ahead of Clyde Edwards? Like, which one would you rather have?
I personally would rather have Clyde very, very slightly.
Yeah, me too. That's kind of interesting.
I don't like the Andy Reid situation at all, as you guys know.
If there's no toe, I might actually take Gibson. And that's...
If there's no toe, I'd take Gibson as well.
Mm-hmm. No toe at all?
Yeah, just
If he removed it, I would take Gibson.
Oh, wow.
Because then he can't have the issue. He can't be injured if you don't have it.
That's another good hypothetical. Hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would rather have Clyde Edwards, and it's just because of, like, I know that he can probably recoup a lot of his value. But my final point of this, we'll move on to the next one, is I think it's a good time.
At the end of the season, I did those polls just to see, because I was kind of surprised by the results as well, and just wanted to see how far Clyde had fallen. And Gibson destroyed Clyde in the poll. And Gibson's situation improved because they didn't bring anybody in of significant values. Like, there's but they didn't draft anybody, and they didn't bring anybody for agency.
Yeah, and this leads into our next player, which I'm going to do, JP, so whatever, is Miles Sanders. This is the exact same thing. How people end seasons versus start seasons matters so much more. This recency bias. So here's a stat for you. The next person's Miles Sanders. So in terms of...
Oh, and let me just really quick. Yeah, this is the last player. He is the number one most searched player in the Calculator database. This is the guy that people most want to know what his value is. So continue.
Right. So, you know, Sanders had these expectations, didn't really meet them, right? However, Miles Sanders last year, his efficiency went up. You know, he went from a 4.6 yards per carry running back his rookie year, which isn't bad, to 5.3, which you're like, whoa, not bad. However, ended the season, four of his last five games, 3.8 yards per carry or less, despite that spike in efficiency. And so, I mean, to me, I think it's okay. We had this expectation, didn't meet it. We talked about with Clyde, right? But then also like trending downward, and people are like, well, that's who he is. I think that matters to people a lot. What have you seen last, and what have you seen on primetime games with your own eyes matters more than the actual value.
That's true. And with Miles, like, he was banged up. He was underutilized. And like, those are not a good combination of things if you want to maintain any sort of value. So, but efficiency wise, yeah, you're right. And then the what have you done for me lately thing is very interesting. So getting into Miles Sanders trades, thank you for the segue, Waylon. Miles Sanders actually had some very interesting trades. So it looks like we did actually save the best for last here. These are going to be tough. So Izzy, starting with you.
No.
This one is, doesn't matter the format. It's Dalvin Cook and Miles Sanders or Cam Akers and Davante Adams. I have no idea what I would pick on this. So I'm really interested to hear what you guys are going to choose.
Well, it's interesting because I would sell Dalvin Cook. I would sell Miles Sanders. I would sell Cam Akers, and I'd sell Davante Adams. So
they're all sells.
I don't know what I'd probably go Akers, Adams. I'd rather have Akers than Miles. And Dalvin and Davante, I'd rather slightly have Dalvin over Davante, but I think the gap between Akers and Miles is larger than the gap between Dalvin and Adams. So I'll go Akers, Adams.
Interesting. So Waylon's going to be toiling over this one. Which side do you pick on that one, Waylon?
It's tough. To me, this comes down to one thing, and it's the elephant in the room. And I look to my right or my left here, and I see the elephant over there just staring at me, and he has this green and gold 12 jersey on. If Aaron Rodgers does not return to Green Bay, Davante Adams is a wide receiver too. No. And I think it's easy.
Dude, he played well with Brett Hundley as the quarterback. And I think Jordan Love can be better than Hundley. These elite quarterbacks, we saw it with DeAndre Hopkins. We saw it with, you know, a guy that we both love, Nick, and Josh Gordon. We've seen it with a lot of elite receivers with bad quarterbacks. Andre Johnson did it. If you are elite, you will be the focal point of the offense, and you will put up yards, touchdowns, the whole shebang. I'm less concerned about Rodgers leaving. We have to remember, Rodgers has been hurt several seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple games during several seasons. And Davante Adams may not have the same ceiling on a weekly basis, but he's still going to be a wide receiver one. If he stays healthy, he will still be a wide receiver one. And he'll probably be a mid to high wide receiver one at that.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody else, Nick. They have Alan Lazard.
Yeah, so your defense, and it's Jordan Love, and you're not worried about that anymore.
Why would I be worried?
So
what's the worry?
About Aaron Rodgers dicing you up, because it's Jordan Love. So now you're not as worried about everyone else. So now you can bracket and all of these options. But
why can you bracket with Aaron Rodgers there?
Because you're worried about MVS, who had a huge touchdown in the championship game against Tampa.
Why would you be worried about MVS over Adams? If you're going to bracket, if you're not going to bracket Adams, it is not because MVS.
No, but MVS was one-on-one.
If that's your reason,
how did Robert Tonyan do?
Yeah, not, dude, these guys are not good enough to where you're saying, well, with Aaron Rodgers, we can't double Adams, but without Aaron Rodgers, we can because of these guys.
You think Jordan Love can hit the secondary targets as well as Aaron Rodgers?
No, but I don't think he, but if you're bracketing a player, it opens things up for everybody. Even
if you have a trash quarterback, you don't think straight up doubling, let's bracket double, whatever you want to put it, Adams, and having him make multiple reads, you don't think that matters more for a bad quarterback versus a great quarterback, one of the best of all time?
No, I just don't think it's enough. I just don't think it's enough personally. And I think what would end up happening in a situation like that is they would run the ball more than they normally would with Rodgers.
Yes, which takes away targets from Adams.
Which may take away targets from Adams, but it also will still lead, I think, in my personal opinion, I still think it leads to when they pass the ball, they're going to try to force feed their best player.
DeAndre Hopkins, since 2014, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, in 7 seasons has had, I mean, my goodness, 4 of those years, he's had 104 more receptions. He's had 1,165 yards or more in every season, but one. And it was the 1 year that Brock Osweiler started, and he went 78, 9, 54, and 4. So you're saying that a bad quarterback doesn't affect.
He played all 16 that season, and then who are the quarterbacks? It was Brock.
Brock played 15 of the games.
So Brock was a quarterback 15 of the games. And what about in 2014? Who was his quarterback?
Played in 15, started 14. Tom Savage did too.
Okay, who was the 2014? Because that what was the Brock Osweiler season?
2016.
Okay, so what was 2014, 2015? Who were the quarterbacks?
2015 was Hoyer.
Okay, and how did he do with Hoyer?
He did fine.
How did he do in 2014?
You're saying it doesn't affect him, and I just gave you a stat that
did it. You said Hoyer did fine.
You said it can't affect him. He's a wide receiver.
I'm not saying we've seen DeAndre elite receivers perform with bad quarterbacks.
Yes, we've also seen elite wide receivers get demolished by bad quarterbacks.
Well, not demolished, but. I think Randy Moss kind of did that to himself.
Saying it can happen.
But DeAndre Hopkins is elite, just like Adams is. Could Adams have a 78, 965, and 4? Sure. But Adams, if you remember, Adams had plenty of seasons where he didn't hit 1,000 yards with Aaron Rodgers. So
yes.
Just because he's had the touchdowns.
He's so good in the end zone. Do you think Jordan Love's going to be as good in the end zone as Aaron Rodgers?
Maybe not.
He honed in on Adams and it hurt him at the end, but he gave him so many targets down there.
Yeah. I think Jordan Love is better than Brett Hundley. So I'm optimistic.
So what you think Brett Hundley fed Adams and he was an elite receiver?
I just remember, and I'd have to go back and look at the stats, but I remember Hundley was still feeding Adams and Adams was still being productive with Hundley at quarterback.
Brett Hundley had 9 touchdowns and 12 interceptions that year. And what did Adams have? Adams went 74, 885, and 10.
And he Rodgers, missed games, right?
And Rodgers, he missed 2 games, and Rodgers started 7 of those games. So now let's see what the ratio was of touchdowns for Adams. Did they all come? He had 10. What year is this? Boom, boom, boom.
I mean, how many did Hundley play that year?
Well, Rodgers started 7, so then it would have been the last part.
I would did he start all 9?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So 5 of his touchdowns came in the first 6 games with Rodgers.
Okay, so half. So Hundley still got him 5 touchdowns in those 8 games that he played.
4, 5.
I don't think so. I think Rodgers came back late in the season because they had a chance at the playoffs. I remember that.
I'm trying to, yeah, no, I remember this as well. So I'm trying to think of, let's look.
Played one game, they lost, and then he didn't play week 17. I'm pretty sure he played 16, they lost, and then he skipped 17. Maybe I'm wrong.
You're saying it can't happen. I just said it could happen. So anyways, back to the trade. Yeah, Rodgers threw a touchdown in the end. I would go with, I would still go with the Akers and Adams side, despite all of this, because I'm scared to death of Dalvin Cook's injuries. I know some people aren't, but I am. He's been injured more than Joe Mixon. He's had 3 shoulder surgeries. He's had the ACLs, we know. I think he's a fantastic player when he plays. This is just me hedging my bets. And I think Akers is better than Miles Sanders as well. So despite Adams not potentially not having Aaron Rodgers, which I think is 100% not happening, I'm just scared of Dalvin, and I think I can get more ROI on those 2 versus Dalvin Miles.
Yeah, and I think I'll I don't think I'm breaking the tie. I think I'm just agreeing with the consensus here, but I would also go with the Davante Adams Cam Akers side. I'm less worried about Dalvin Cook's injury history. I think he's probably going to be fine. I think he protects himself a little bit better now. He's learning as a pro, but it's pretty easily like Cam Akers, Davante Adams, that side has considerable more value. So you got a little bit more things that you can do with that side over. And then Miles is just, he's a depressing, deteriorating asset, but he could be. At what point does he become a buy though, you guys? He's sitting at 24.4 in the calculator, which is equivalent to like the 105 in a rookie, you know, 105 in a super flex league. Let me see. Actually, no, that's 108.
No, way less. Yeah.
Let me see. 20. Yeah, it's like a 107, so like, 108.
Like Javonte Williams territory.
Yeah. So like at what point it's almost exactly the 107, by the way. At what point does Miles become a buy? Because it's like, now he's 107. We know what his ceiling is. We know that he was efficient because of Waylon, right?
I don't think he's a buy. I think that spot is exactly where he should be. Like
Okay, so he's neither a buy nor a sell.
I wouldn't be buying Miles Sanders for 107, but I'd want to be selling Miles Sanders for more than that, okay. Ideally. Well,
the other issue I have is this, and we've talked about this. This is a big concern all the time. There's a new coach there. Maybe he doesn't believe in Miles Sanders.
But who would he believe in that backfield?
I don't know. I like Kenny Gainwell a lot.
Jalen Hurts convert to running back, Madden style, right?
I actually like the change. It makes me more optimistic. We know what Peterson's going to do. He's going to cock block us.
Yeah.
You know? But things could change now with Peterson gone. Then it's a big reason why, you know, everybody's getting excited about Clyde. But Andy Reid is still Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Until Andy Reid changes, I'm probably going to keep... I like Clyde where he's at in Dynasty in terms of where he's being drafted. But if he continues to climb up the charts, then probably going to start fading him.
So I just wanted to say that, though, because I think that it's a more compelling question. I think it's easy for us to say that Miles is a sell, but I maybe he's not. Maybe he's a buy. You know, I'll have to rethink that. Very interesting. The final trade for Miles on the final player before we move into Nick Whalen's final thoughts. This one's also a very interesting one. It's Miles Sanders and Tyreek Hill or Saquon Barkley, Amari Cooper. So starting with Waylon, which side do you have on this one? This one's pretty interesting too. I'm going to punch it up in the calculator to give you a little bit more context too.
This is pretty easy. Saquon and Amari Cooper for me. I think Amari Cooper is underrated at this point. He's going to turn 27. He's still only going to be 27 this summer. He was on a really good pace with Dak. I know
Was he a rookie in 15?
He's 26.
Did he come out in 15?
Turns 27 this summer, right? Or am I wrong?
Yeah, he's currently 26. I can look up the...
That is a 15 draft class.
Yeah, turns 27 in...
Maybe it's 16.
In 4 days. Early happy birthday, Amari. And he came out in 15. Look at that. You're right.
Yeah, 15. So what's crazy about that is he came out in 15. I believe Michael Thomas came out in 17.
Wow. And
Michael Thomas is turning 28.
Yeah.
And what about Kenny Golladay? That's another fun one too.
Yeah, Kenny's old. Kenny came out late too. And McLaurin, it's same like Nick mentioned, McLaurin's came out 2 years ago and he's ready 26.
Does he, yeah, turns 26 or 20?
I think he's 26.
Kenny Golladay turns 28 this season.
I know.
What the heck?
I don't think of that. Yep. And you know what's crazy too about Amari is he's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 seasons in the NFL. He is his worst season, you know, played in 14 games. He had 680 yards. If you throw that one out, the other 5 seasons has been between 1,070 yards and 1,189 yards. That's 5 years between just this short gap of yards. It's crazy.
Deviation is tiny on that.
Yeah, I know. But to me, I think he's a little underrated at this point because the love's going to Lamb. I think Amari's still good. He's locked in there with him with that contract, I think, for a little bit. And I'm a little worried about Saquon's knee, but I know Tyreek has the best situation that he could have there in KC, but the bump I would get from Tyreek to Amari is solid, but the bump from Saquon to Miles, I think, is humongous.
Yeah, that's tough for me, but I'm curious to hear what Izzy, I think I know what side you're going to pick, but I think it's harder than we're making it here. So,
yeah, I'd go Saquon, Amari side. I like Miles, or I like Cooper a little bit more than Miles, even though I'd be selling Cooper. And I like Saquon a little more than Tyreek.
So, yeah.
Are you worried about the knee?
I'm always worried about injury like this. However, we've seen so many people come back from this that it seems more elementary now, but I haven't heard anything where the knee is still bothering him. Maybe you have. I just haven't seen it.
No. I mean, speaking of Dalvin, came back from the knee. I don't know if he tours because Saquon tours meniscus and MCL too, I think, or one of them, which is a little bit worrisome, but Dalvin did. Now he's still elite. So.
Yeah.
And even like 90% of Saquon is really good. So
if you can stay healthy, man, it's pretty for a guy that didn't get hurt in college,
mm-hmm.
he's really struggled. Hopefully he has the Frank Gore career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd really like to see him in his prime just, you know, be what we think he is. He's an exciting player.
By the way, if he gets hurt again, his value is gone.
No.
Gone, yes.
No, it's
guarantee
not.
It. I guarantee it.
All right.
If he gets hurt again, significant injury, he will be difficult to find trade partners, which will drive his price down. I'm guessing he'll be a late second, early third.
Nah, he'll still be worth a random first.
Oh no, I'm saying late second, early third in startups.
Oh, I gotcha. I don't think anything could happen that would make him this season at least make him worth anything less than a random, you know, rookie first. So, but oh, I agree with the startup value for sure. I just thought you meant gone, meaning like, you know, next.
Oh, no, not that much, but it's relative to where he is now.
Sure. But yeah, I agree. I think it's the Saquon side for the reasons Izzy. Saquon edges Tyreek and Amari edges Miles, but Miles, you know, potentially being on the up, if he can string together a healthy season, I think could easily pass Amari because Amari technically should be trending down with both his age and then just how many weapons they have in that offense. Although Dak can support 3 wide receivers, but it is an interesting trade, but pretty easily the Saquon and Amari side. So
what is in the calculator?
It is 69.3 to 75.7 in favor of the Saquon Amari side.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
So probably with like, what's that? An early
in the second. In the calculator, is Saquon ahead of Tyreek and Amari ahead of Miles?
Yep, 47.1 for Saquon, 44.8 for Tyreek. So
yeah, pretty close.
Yep, 2.5 points difference. And Amari Cooper is ahead of Miles Sanders by about 4 points.
Okay.
So total value, like we're looking at like an early second separates the trade. So it's actually really close. So in a trade this big, you got to go with your guys. And I wouldn't fault somebody for going with the Miles side, but the value's on the Saquon side. So
before we wrap up and final thoughts, Gibson is at 55% to Clyde's 45% on the poll so far. So this could end up being a 50. It can go either way. So okay. It might be a coin flip.
I like it. I'm fine with that. Which is kind of like where we're saying, like I would.
Yeah.
You said you'd go Clyde by a fraction, by a hair. So sounds like that's about
by a layer.
But they're a good enough difference in the calculator. So that's kind of interesting. So, so that's it for this week's edition of Dynasty Trade Wire. And we're going to wrap up the podcast with final thoughts with Nick Whalen. Nick, what do you got this week?
So this is a strategy that I don't see a lot of owners doing or even discussing. So one thing that I do is when I'm looking to trade for a first round pick, or I'm trying to calculate out how an owner, how their season's going to continue, or maybe how it can start, is I look at their fantasy schedule. So if you're in a head-to-head league, you can start doing this now. And I generally, what I'll do is for all my leagues, I will rank them. I will be like, okay, this is probably the best team all the way down to the worst team. And then you can look at their schedule and be like, hey, so this team's going to come out probably pretty hot. And this team might come out a little bit slow in terms of wins and losses. And that could help in terms of if you're trying to figure out if you're going to make it into the playoffs or if this other team is and potential first or future picks to acquire. So that's just a little bit of homework you could do ahead of time. Now, again, can injuries change things and can teams do things a little bit differently? Sure. But I think looking at fantasy schedule or rest of season schedule is something that people don't look at often enough.
I love it. Very good. Thank you so much, Nick Whalen. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in this week to the Dynasty Trade Calculator podcast. Make sure you check us out next week. We'll try to be extremely consistent as the summer continues, as training camps begin, preseason begins. Again, thanks for listening. Check us out on Twitter at FF Dynasty Trades for the main handle. You can find Nick Whalen at _ Nick Whalen. Izzy is found at DTC_IzzyE. And you can find myself at FF Hercules and the producer, John Mosier, which I missed last week, at DTC_ John Mosier, Moeser. That's all we got for this week, you guys. See you next week. Bye.